I try when possible in this slot to try to bring a shad that really happened fairly recently. So this particular shad that I want to speak about tonight actually did not happen recently. I had the shad about 15 years ago or so. But the reason why I'm talking about it tonight is that it's a little bit in the Yoma. It actually relates to Tu B'Shvat. So I guess we'll get Tu B'Shvat before the next year. So we'll try to hop around through shaylas and see how it relates to Lamaisa for us. So the shayla was actually presented to me quite some time ago. During the very beginning of the month of Nisan, you know what the halacha is, that one recites Birchas Ilanos when one sees the new fruit trees beginning to blossom in the beginning of the month of Nisan. The question was posed, what if a person has a tree that is orla? And within the first 3 years, one is not allowed to eat from the fruit, one is not allowed to use the fruit. So even if it is growing fruit, even though it is technically a fruit tree, but the fruits are not fit, the fruits are not royal or kach to be used, can one recite a bracha of Birchas Ilanos on the fruit tree? So that shaila really breaks down into two different questions. One was a general question about Birchas Ilanos on Orla, and then the unique status of the question as it was supposed to be in Chutz Laaretz, it was supposed to be actually in Bergenfield, what the halachas are concerning Orla in Chutz Laaretz and how that may or may not impact on the shaila. So it's really a twofold question, and both of them relate back in Yom Tu B'Shvat about fruits and trees, so even if it's not quite Chodesh Nisan, so we'll try to get a little bit of a head start on that as well. So the sugya begins with the first of the sources, first of Mamakomos, the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim and Simon Reish Chavov, quoting right out of the Gemara. Hayotzi b'mei Nisan, if a person is walking out of the days of Nisan, v'roi ilonos shemotzi in perach, and he sees that the trees are beginning to blossom. So Chazal instituted the following bracha: Omer Baruch Hashem l'kem b'cholom, shlochise ba'olam klum, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not let anything that is missing in this world. Ubarabo Brios Tovos, the Kadosh Baruch Hu created beautiful creatures, the Ilonos Tovos, and beautiful, wonderful trees. And here becomes the punchline, which is going to be the source of our question. Lehonos Behem B'nei Adam. The Kadosh Baruch Hu created the fruit trees, not just to look at them, pretty trees, but to enjoy them, to enjoy the fruit. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to enjoy the fruit that he created. Then the Shulchan Aruch just continues, Ve'enim B'varach L'Pamachas B'choshana V'shana. That one only recites this bracha once a year. If a person forgot to recite the bracha, didn't make the bracha until the fruit are already grown, it's no longer just a perach, no longer just a little blossom, but it's actually a full-fledged fruit, so then one no longer recites this bracha. There is a machlokes haposkim whether this particular bracha is literally limited to the month of Nisan. That is the lashon of the Gemara, that's the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. There are some poskim who say you have to recite this bracha dafka Nisan, and others say Nisan is lav dafka. It could be a little before, a little after, as long as it's the beginning of the blossoming season. This becomes always that last minute crunch, you know, all of a sudden you realize on the last day of Nisan, Gaval, but it's not going to see Lanos yet. Then it comes scrounging around, running around for the closest tree possible. So some posts can say, don't be such a rush. When you get there in a day's year, you can also recite the bracha. But again, the Minigalim, we try to recite it during the month of Nisan. So the key of this bracha that becomes questionable for us is that phrase, the Hanos Behem B'nei Adam. The Chazal incorporated into the Nuscha bracha that the Kadosh Baruch Hu created these beautiful, wonderful trees that we enjoy, the Honos are going to enjoy their fruit. And the question that some posts can raise is, how can I recite this bracha with a straight face if I can't use this fruit? Why can't I use this fruit? Because the fruit is prohibited by Hanoah because it's Orla.
Well, the Gemusa is not given on fruit. It says, Ilanos Tovos, Lehenos Behem Ne'odah. So you can get Hanoah out just of seeing the blossom, the fruit, the blossoms on the tree.
Right, but the bracha, right, okay, it's true, but the mice and the bracha is definitely fruit related. I mean, hurrah, you don't make this bracha on non-fruit, a beautiful tree, it's a wonderful sequoia tree, you don't make this bracha, so you only make it on fruit tree. So clearly Chazal had in mind that idea that the nechmar ha'etz, you know, period lecho, you know, that's definitely a component of this bracha. So the question is, So the question is, should this even be a topic for shiur altogether? Is this even a problem? Is this even a challenge? We're working with the assumption that we have a problem here and we're going to have to sort of finagle why somehow maybe the tree that's growing in Bergenfield is not going to be a problem. I'm not so sure it's a concern altogether. Even if I know for a fact this is Orla and it's Orla Neretz Yisrael, to make matters even more serious, it's absolutely prohibited in our Torah to eat this fruit and to benefit from this fruit in any shape or form. Who said I can't make the bracha? The Hanus Ben B'nei Adam. So different suggestions are given to almost circumvent this entire shiur. So one suggestion is, well, it is going to be Lehanos B'nei Adam in next year, 2 years, or 3 years, or 5. At some point, the tree is going to produce fruits. That could be old forever. So at some point, the fruit is going to become permissible. So maybe the hummus of Bnei Adam doesn't mean literally right now. Or maybe the phrase, the hummus of Bnei Adam, shouldn't be taken so literal. We know the Chazal instituted a lot of brachas that praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu for different hanos, for different events that occur during the course of the day, during the course of the year, during the course of our lifetime. Some of those brachas are very, very much linked to a very, very specific event, and some of them are not. Let's say, for example, there's a bracha, Chazal say, make a bracha on lightning. So you make a bracha only when you see lightning, not when, in theory, I know there's lightning, it's somewhere in the world, I can make the bracha. No, I have to experience the lightning myself. On the other hand, there are other brachas that are not so simple. The brachas of shachar that we say in the morning. So we make brachas of Malbish Arumim, Bokei Chivrim, Tfufim, all the above, Shinasun Tzech Levina. But there was a big machlokes to Rambam and other Rishonim about what the nature of those brachas are. The Rambam's opinion of his brachas is that you have to recite each one of those brachas when the event occurs. That's what the Gemara describes. The Gemara, the end of his brachas, describes you hear the rooster in the morning, say Shinasun Tzech Levina. You put on your clothes, Malbish Arumim, you wash your face, you make this bracha. Each bracha corresponds to an actual something that occurs every single day. So the Rambam writes, Chazal instituted, that's the way to make these brachas. The Rambam writes that he heard in far-off lands, in some communities, as a practice, that a chazan gets up and rattles off 15 brachas, one after another, before davening starts. The Rambam says, those are 15 brachas to batala. So next time the Gabbai comes and asks you to be the chazan, brachas shachar, tell my father, Rambam, I can't do it, it's bracha batala. So most of us don't follow the view of the Rambam. We also follow the view of other Rishonim who say that these brachas were instituted on Min Hava Shalolam, means that Kodesh Baruch Hu performs these wonderful kindnesses for humanity, that people have clothing and people hear roosters and people put on belts and people put on hats. Whether I personally am wearing a hat, I'm personally wearing a belt, personally wearing shoes, that doesn't going to make much of a difference. I could still recite these brachas. So that's what our practice is, considering brachas shachar against the good of the Rambam. So it's kind of hard to tell whether any given bracha by Chazal is on the particulars of that event or the little bit more global kinds of statements. So for now, we're going to work with the assumption that this bracha must relate to this fruit, to this tree, right here and now. And the question becomes, do we have a problem or not? Is there really something wrong with this bracha if the fruit are orla? So at first glance, the answer is yes. At first glance, that if you take this bracha literally, you cannot eat orla, you cannot benefit from orla. That's the Gemara in the second of the Marmakamos, where the Gemara comments that orla, even though it's true in the Torah Shebichsav, the only thing that it says you're not allowed to do for the first 3 years is eat the fruit. But the Torah Shebapel elaborates upon that and teaches us the Tani. We learned in the Braisa. Aredim lo yo'ochel. True, the Torah itself says not to eat. Ein li ela iser achila. I know that I'm not allowed to eat it. Minayin shlo yahana mimenu. How do I know I'm not allowed to benefit from oil in any way whatsoever? Shelo yitzvah bo. For example, I cannot use it for dye. I can't take a fruit and use it for coloring, to color my clothing. I can't take olive oil from olives that are orla and use it to light a candle. How do I know all that is prohibited? The Torah uses the phrase oral, oral, three times to teach me that all kind of hanas are off-limited. That's what Rashi quotes in Chumash, that the word oral, I think Rashi quotes in, if I'm not mistaken, last week even, that the word, that the word oral means something that's closed off, something that's not accessible to. So the idea of Ralph Fasayev, Ashurbedi, saying that his lips are not opening up properly, he's not able to articulate clearly. That's what Rashi says, that the word orla means also that something is covered over, the skin is covering over there, that area. And the issue of orla is that the fruit is covered over, it's away from you, it's not accessible to you, you're not allowed to use it. So the total phrase of Arayel Bloy Ochel teaches us that everything is off limits in terms of orla. So again, if you go back to our assumption, that the bracha means literally, and it has to relate to this fruit, the here and now. And if this is within 3 years, so then put two together, then you cannot recite the bracha.
All these examples the more I give are detracting from the actual fruit. What about smelling the actual fruit where you're not actually...
Oh, very good. Excellent. So there's a general question about, is reyach considered to be an act of hanah or not? Is that posed a hanah? So the Gemara discusses a little bit about that in Masechet Avodah Zarah. Is reyach considered to be like the normal way of benefiting? Maybe it's hanosh lo kederech, maybe hanosh lo kederech may be permissible, maybe minator, midrabanan. It gets a little bit complicated. So reyach is not a simple answer to that question.
But that would be an example of hanah.
You mean, the reason why it would, if it's mutter, it's mutter because it's considered to be an abnormal form of hanah. So that would be good for the reason why it would be mutter, if it is.
An example on Shabbos for achila. Achila is aser, but it's, can you smell it on Shabbos? You can smell it on a tree.
Oh, that's also great. Very good. It's also a Gemara about that. There's a Gemara about that topic. about is there a gezeirah midrabbanan? If I'm going to smell a fruit, do we have to be concerned that I may come to be tolish the fruit? Okay. So those are nuances and differences. Okay. I hear you. But again, I have this apple tree growing, and I'm looking at these apples. I'm trying to think, what can I do with the apple? I can't eat it. I can't sell it to a non-Jew. I can't give it to my animals. I can't turn it into medicine. I can't. My hands are tied in it. I really ochel. Can I recite the bracha? So if we're going to work with the assumption that no, you cannot recite the bracha, is that true in Eretz Yisrael, or does that apply in Chutz La'aretz as well? So here the question becomes a much more basic question than in terms of brachos. Is there a prohibition of oil altogether outside of Eretz Yisrael? We know that the starting point of agricultural mitzvahs is that whatever is agricultural based, Shemitah doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. Trumas and Maasos do not apply in Chutz La'aretz. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, Orla, it's hard to envision more agriculture than that. It's in a tree. Trees grow on the ground. So that's agriculture. That's the land. That should be a mitzvah to Leah Ba'aretz. So notwithstanding what we would have thought, the Mishnah in Maseches Kedushin begins to give us a few exceptions to the rule of mitzvah to Leah Ba'aretz. So the starting point is that agricultural mitzvahs don't apply in Chutz La'aretz, but there are a few exceptions to that rule. So take a look at the third of the Mamre Kamos. The Mishnah Maseches Kedushin starts with one of the most controversial possible exceptions. The Mishnah says, Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah, HaChadosh Asa Min HaTorah B'chol Mokom. Chadosh is what the Torah tells us in Parshas Emor, that any grain that grows from this year's crop is not permitted to be eaten until after the Korban Omer is brought, or if you live at a time and there's no Beis HaMikdash, after the second day of Pesach either arrives or ends, depending on what you think about that Shaila. So that's an issue called Chadosh, any new grain that applies to, and the Mishnah says, Chadosh is Asmet Tar B'chol Mokum. It doesn't matter whether the grain grew in Eretz Yisrael, whether it grew in Europe, whether it grew in Kansas, wherever the grain grows, Chadosh is also Minat Torah B'chol Mokum. So this is a big, big machlokes, even within the Torah themselves. Some of the Torah said this is not true, that Chadosh is in fact not also Minat Torah B'chol Mokum. What does that machlokes depend upon? So it depends on how to reap shot in a pasuk in Parshas Emor. The Torah says, V'lechem v'koli v'charim alosokho et etzem ayom hazeh. It says, B'chol mosh v'seichem. The Torah says, you're not allowed to eat new grain until you bring the Korban Omer, and etzem ayom hazeh, adav yachem is Korban Omer. B'chol mosh v'seichem, no matter where you are. So what does that mean, wherever you are? So this was a machlokes at Tanaim. One opinion Tanaim was, wherever you are, no matter where it grows. And the other Tana says, no, B'chol mosh v'seichem means anywhere within Eretz Yisrael. So why does the Torah confuse us by using the phrase B'chol mosh v'seichem to teach us that it only applies when you finish conquering Eretz Yisrael, after La'achi Rishav Yeshiva, after you've already inhabited and conquered Eretz Yisrael and inhabited for 14 years in the days of Yeshua Benun, then the prohibitions of Chadosh begin. But there is no halach of Chadosh in Chutz La'aretz, at least not Minat Torah. That was a big machlokes Tanoim, machlokes Amoraim, machlokes Rishonim, machlokes till this very day what the halach is. Most people today who are lenient about Chadosh and don't observe the halachas of Chadosh in Chutz La'aretz, so they are, for the most part, relying on that opinion that it doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz, combined with a couple of other factors, that there's one opinion that doesn't apply to non-Jewish crop, and it could be certain sfeikas, but I'm not even sure exactly when things necessarily grew. So there are a few sfeikas, a few shitas that are combined together. That was the minhag in Klal Yisrael for hundreds and thousands of years, to be very, very lenient about Chadosh and Chutz La'aretz. There were always individuals who disagreed. From the Gaon, sorry, those Gedolei Olam in every generation, we're of the opinion that no, we should be much, much more careful about observing the halachas of Chadosh, even if it starts. That's what we have Adayam is there. We have that running machlokas. That there's been a tremendous shift, I'd say, in the last 30 years or so in the observance of Chadosh and Yashan in America. That until not all that long ago, it was almost unheard of yet. People observed the halachas of the sheets of Chadosh and Yashan in Chutz La'aretz. Whereas today we've reached a point where it is almost impossible, at least in the greater New York area, it's almost impossible to find bakeries that are not Machpel and Yashan today. It's in Tinek, they don't exist. All the bakeries are Machpel and Yashan, to the best of my knowledge. It's impossible to get non-Yashan challahs. It's a new world. And I can't comment on every other restaurant. Every pizza store, different some yes, some no. But the proliferation of Yashan in today's world has significantly changed over the last several decades. Anyway, back to the story. So Chadosh is a question. Then the Mishnah continues. Orla halacha. The observance of Orla in Chutz La'aretz is a halacha, which is a very, very strange phrase. What does it mean? It's a halacha. The Mishnah continues. V'kilayim v'divrisof. V'kilayim is a different halacha. That's midrabbanan. We're going to leave that out for now. So comes the Gemara and says, my halacha. What does it mean? What do the words mean? The observance of Orla in Chutz La'aretz is a halacha. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Hilchas Medina. What it means is the Mishnah explain, it's basically a din midrabbanan. It means halacha means that in contrast to chadash, which was also in a Torah b'chamakom according to this opinion, all applies with the Rabbanan, Chazal instituted it, but it doesn't really apply with the Raisa. Ulam Rabbi Yochanan, Ula presents the more popular view, the way we accept halacha, it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It was not the Rabbanan. It's actually bound by Torah law. It does not say that the Torah should be chsav, according to the simple reading of the Psukim in Parshas Kedoshim. It should only apply in Eretz Yisrael. We have a special halacha l'moshe m'sinai that tells us otherwise, and that's how we accept the halacha, that Orla and Chutzlaritz is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Kach, that's a dim in the Torah, the source being pure halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So that puts us back into a predicament again with these with this fruit tree that's growing on my block. That if we would have held that Orla doesn't really apply in Chutzlaritz altogether, so then we would have no qualms making a bracha on it. Once you tell me that Orla applies in Chutzlaritz, it seems to be on par with Eretz Israel. So if you hold that you can't make this bracha on orla trees, again, which is far from agreed upon, as we mentioned in the first few minutes of this year, but if you work with that assumption that you cannot make this bracha on orla fruit, so then l'chora, at first glance, we're in the same pickle in chutzlaritz as we are in chutzlaritz, in Eretz Yisrael, but not so simple. The Gemara then goes on to elaborate a little bit more about the details of this halacha Moshe Mesinai. So comes the Gemara with two startling statements about the parameters of this halacha. We're talking about a din d'oraisa given to us, Ishra Pisha Moshe Rabbeinu, and listen to the two kulas that the Gemara tells us. Amalei Levi l'Shmuel. Levi said to Shmuel, Aryoch. Aryoch was his nickname. Rashi explains the place where exactly that name came from. That was the way Shmuel, Levi used to refer to Shmuel. Safik li va'ana echol. So Levi said to Shmuel, you feed me the orlas chutzlaret and I'll eat it. That's what he said. What exactly does that mean? Is it mutter? Is it also? If it's mutter, then Shmuel should eat it himself. It's also one of the world's Levi doing eating it. Rav, if you have a rabbi bar of Hanan, mesafku sefuke lahadadi. These two Amoraim, that Rav Ivyan and rabbi of Hanan, both lived in Bavel, they used to feed each other their orlas chutzlaritz. So one Amora had his tree that's growing apples that are orla. No problem. He would bring them to his friend and he would give it to him. The other one had his oranges growing orla. He would give them and show by Yisrael. Wow. Since when are you allowed to feed non-kosher food? I don't understand. If the other person knows about it, so how can you eat treifa food? If the other person doesn't know about it, that's a flagrant violation of the evil of Sita Mikshal. You're not allowed to give treifa food to somebody. So what in the world is going on? Very, very, very strange. So the Gemara continues. Then the Gemara, he skipped a few dots, but a couple of lines of the Gemara. But the Gemara made a comment that even though Orlas Chutzlaritz is Asar, and even though it's Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, the Gemara quotes a very, very strange source that says that if you're not sure whether it's orla, it's okay, then you're allowed to eat it. If it's an Eretz Yisrael, it's out of the question. You cannot eat orla's Eretz Yisrael is suffic. Like you can't eat any other suffic treif food. If you have a suffic, whether something is chazir, you can't eat it. So if you have a suffic, whether something is chometz and pesach, you can't eat it. You have a suffic, whether something's orla, you can't eat it. But in chutzlaritz, the game's over. Everything's okay. Do whatever you want. If you suffic, you're allowed to eat it. The Gemara says, where does that come from? It doesn't make any sense. If halacha Moshe Mesinai is that it's also, how in the world can we be so lenient about this? Says the Gemara, that the halacha Moshe Mesinai was said in two parts. Sveika mutar, vada osur. That was nichlo in the halacha Mesinai itself. That it was special masur, that you have ishri pisha meshur abeinu, that if you have absolute vadai oral in front of you, that's a problem. If you have sofek oral in front of you, that's okay. No problem. You're allowed to eat it. So the Rishonim point out from the Gemara, not only is Sofik Orla Chutzlaritz Mutter, you're not even mechuyev to ask questions. If I have a suspicion that something may be Orla, I don't even have to make an effort to try to find out. If there's a chance that something is treif, I got to turn the world upside down to figure out before I eat it, to make sure it's not treif. I see an apple here, and there's a 50-50 chance, and the Ron adds on, there's a 90-10 chance. The odds are it may very well be Orla, but I don't know for certain. What you don't know doesn't hurt you, and there's no mitzvah to ask. Kol's man, you don't know, you're permitted to eat it. So I remember I actually once had the shaila, believe it or not, back when before I was in Berkeley, I used to live in Paramus. We had a next door neighbor, a non-Jewish couple, and they had these bushes, they grow berries in them or something. And the neighbor was like schmoozing with us, and they were very friendly. And they brought over once some berries to us, and they were telling us, yeah, you know, we just very recently planted some new bushes, and there's berries. I don't want to know too much about the information. Because if I would have known that these berries came from the brand new bushes, they're within 3 years, so that would have been Vaday Orlos Chutzlaritz. It would have been awesome in the rice if we eat those berries. Kolzman, that I did not know what the facts are. So the Rishonim point out for the Gemara explicitly, It's mutter misafek, and it's so mutter misafek, you don't even have to be mevara. You don't have to bother even looking at it. Kach nemer, it's a kasha, it doesn't make it. Kach is a kach nemer halacha, im a kach nemer, speka mutter vado osir. If that's the case, so then maybe we can have a little bit more of an insight as to what's going on about those two strange stories about how Levi would ask Shmuel, please, you know, give me something to eat. Just don't tell me what it is. And I'm a run, Mr. Trade-off from one to another. But the nature of the halacha is that Sveika is mutter. But basically the halacha is telling me is that Yediyas ha'isser is part of the isser proper. Most of the time, whether this is chazer, whether I know it or not, it's chazer. Whether it's chum, if it's chum, it's a base, whether I'm privy to that information or not. But when it comes to all the schutzlarets, if I don't have yediyah, if I don't know, literally doesn't hurt me. And in the realm of all the schutzlarets, when the halacha says that sveika is mutter, what that means is that a suffix is not called a yediyah. The reason why suffix is mutter, because what you don't know isn't considered to be orla. So you have a very, very bizarre situation. You have two guys, I know it's orla, and you don't know it's orla. So not only am I allowed to eat it, not only am I not allowed to eat it, and you're allowed to eat it, I'm allowed to give it to you. Even though I know full well that I'm quote-unquote giving you orla. I'm not giving you orla. It's orla for me, it's not orla for you. It's one of the strange, one or two other areas in halacha, we have such a concept, but a very, very strange halacha Moshe Sinai. That's the Deir Kach Rebbe, this Chiddush halacha Moshe Sinai. If you don't have your Diyas HaIsser, then the orla Chutzot is absolutely Behatera. Oh, that's a load of, that's a Ran's question in Masechus Kedushin. Ran says, if the Rambam sheet is that all sfeikas are mutter b'Torah, so why in the world do I need a special loch or sinai to say that this is mutter? So the Ran points out that if you look carefully in the Gemara seems to say that all the chutzot is mutter, even if the odds are against you. Even if the odds are stacked against you, it's still mutter. And all other areas of halacha, if I have a 90% chance this is chazer, I can't eat it. Whereas if I have a 90% chance that it's all the schutzot, I'm still permitted to eat it. The poskim have a fascinating application of this, and this I had the shadow several times, that there's a din, let's say a person has a tree that's growing, and he starts to take part of the tree off, but he replants it somewhere else. So does the calendar of Orla begin again? Or do I say, no, this is a 55-year-old tree, which just continues the next year? Do I say, no, it started all over again? So the Mishnah says it depends how much dirt accompanied the tree. So if you take a lot of dirt, the big, big clump of dirt, that this could really survive, it's got enough soil to keep it going on its own, so then that's not considered to be a new planting. That's just considered to be a continuation of the previous tree. But if you just slept off a small piece of tree with a very, very insignificant amount of soil, so then it's considered to be starting all over again. You have an orla problem. So the post can say very often, Mishas happen. I've had the shalom more than once. Somebody buys these saplings, they buy these things, they go to Home Depot, they buy these flower pots, they put them into the ground, they start to plant things, and they're growing trees and fruits in their backyards. And if you'd ask them, so tell me, how much soil was that? Is there enough soil? It's 3 years ago. Was there enough soil there? And if you know much soil, would you have any idea how much soil it needs to grow? Who knows these kinds of things? So because all the quotes from one of the Acharonim who says that what you don't know doesn't hurt you, and you're not mechuyev to find out. You're not mechuyev to hire a botanist to go evaluate whether there's enough soil there. If you think there's a chance there's enough soil there, so you have a suffix or the chutz laretz, that's also mutter. So this halacha really goes flying. It's so many different applications of this principle of orlas chutzlaretz. But notwithstanding this whole shtick that we're saying now, that orlas chutzlaretz is mutter misafek, and therefore I can feed it to my friend. Everything is good to go. The Kesef Mishnah, in his comments in the Rambam, doesn't believe this to be true. He says, it can't be. It just boggles the imagination to say that I can take food that I'm not allowed, if I eat it, I'm in violation of an issur d'oraisa of halacha Sinai, and hand it to my friend, not knowing. It's just, it's too bizarre, says the Kesef Mishnah, to be true. But Maisa Gemara says it. So the Kesef Mishnah suggests that maybe with these Amoraim who did this, were following the other opinion being that this was never really, Lach Masina in the first place. Remember, there was another view, Shmuel's view, who happens to be the person here. I'm only leaving the Shmuel. So Levi said to Shmuel, you Shmuel who hold that's only the Rabbanan anyway, so maybe this Din D'Rabbanan was instituted in a very, very lenient manner, but you don't know it doesn't hurt you. But, says the Kesef Mishnah, if it would be at the Araisa, Hayitochen, Halach Mosh Sinai, could feed Trefa, Halach Mosh Sinai, food to somebody, unknowing neighbor. Kesef Mishnah says, it's too mind-boggling for it to be true. So therefore, the Kesef Mishnah, one fell swoop, takes out an eraser and crosses out. Hawan the Gemara, he says, Well, this whole, that literally crosses it out, but he says, halachically crosses it out. This whole sugya that says, no problem, you can feed back and forth, no big deal, everything's good to go. This is all shalaka halacha. This is all following that one minority view that all the chutz la'aretz is only midrabbanan. But we, says the guest mishnah, paskens that it's a deraisa, you would never ever say such a thing. So some acharonim accepted this guest mishnah, and then he did it, and then he said, no, we follow what it says in the gemara. Gemara says, it's mutter, it's finished. Suffolk, it's a Suffolk. Suffolk al chuzim. We're not sure. Many acharonim say we could follow what it says in the gemara. So when in the world does this ever come up? Besides that, my neighbor who's bringing me all the results. When the world's ever come up? So actually, the post can discuss it, halacha maisa, in terms of hilchos sukkos, in terms of esrog. They say that some of the svarim, kedoshim, speak about that on Tu B'Shvat, you should daven on Tu B'Shvat what your esrog is going to look like. So we'll have a little bit of that world of Tu B'Shvat in this year also. So there's a din in hilchos esrog in the fourth of the Marmikamas. It's a Mishnah Maseches Sukkah, but the Mishnah says that an esrog shall orla is possible. But the esrog is from the first 3 years of the tree, so you cannot use it for the mitzvah of balaminim. The verse is my time. What's the problem? So pligibar Rabbi Chia bar Ab Rabbi Asi. So everyone agrees that it's a Mefarish Mishnah. The Amoran weren't sure why it's true. Chadam lefisha ein b'heter achila, b'chadam lefisha ein b'din mamon. At least the way Rashi slows pshat in the Gemara, they're both working with the same words. Lochem. Torah says lochachem lochem yamarishem piratzador. You have to own the balaminim. What does it mean to own something? Owning something doesn't just mean it has my name on it. Own something means I have like usage of it. I can do whatever I want with it pretty much. So that's what one opinion says. You have a fruit in front of you. You can't even eat it. The Torah says you can't eat it. You can't use it. So how is that yours? It doesn't really belong to you. Or the other opinion says, Ein ba din mamon, which Rashi interprets to mean, it's not worth a pruta. You can't eat it. You can't sell it. You can't eat it. You can't give it to a goy. You can't do anything with it. So how is that called lachem? So there are nuances as to why it's not called lachem. Why? The nuances are more important for the rest of the sugya for our purposes. But the bottom line is everybody agrees that the esrog shel is no good. And according to most Rishonim, the reason is because it's lacking in terms of lachem. So that's the din of Shulchan Aruch. The esrog shel is off limits. So comes the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham didn't live in Eretz Yisrael, lived in Poland. Not too many esrogim were growing in Poland anyway. But the Magen Avraham raises the question, what would the din be if you have an esrog shel orlas chutz la'aretz? Would that be acceptable or not? Should we part way, should we differentiate between an esrog of Eretz Yisrael and esrog of Chutz La'aretz? What's the difference? Says the Magen Avraham, very simple. What was the problem? Why is the esrog shel orla no good? Because ein by heter achila, you can't eat it, right? Well, says the Magen Avraham, the esrog shel orla Chutz La'aretz, yesh bo heter achila. For the other guy, what do you mean ein by din mamon? You can't do it. What do you mean? I'll give it to the other guy as a present. I'll give it to him. So says the Magen Avraham, when it comes to Esrog Shel Eretz Yisrael of Orla, no choice. Ein ba heter achila, ein ba din mamon, it's disqualified minutes. It's not called lachem. Esrog Shel Chutz La'aretz, no problem. We just quote the Gemara Maseches Kedushin that Mesafke Sekuda Hadadi, I'm allowed to give it to somebody else. Just don't whisper into his ear that it's Orla. He could walk at the shul and be Yaitse, his mitzvah deraisa. I'm staring at it. I know this is Orla. For me, I'm not Yaitse, and he would be Yaitse. Says the Magen Avraham, it can't be. If he's Yaitse, I can give it to him. That's called Yesh ba heter achila, and the male is Yesh ba heter achila. And I can be yotze with it as well. So notwithstanding what the Magen Avraham says, some posts can say, wait a second, who says we paskin like this line in the Gemara that you're allowed to give it to your friend? So the Kesef Mishnah said that line in the Gemara wasn't really the halacha. According to the Kesef Mishnah, that line was only if you buy into the minority view that it's only the Rabbanon, then you have this funny kula. But if it's halacha Moshe, it's like we paskin, then this kula falls by the wayside. So not everyone accepted this psak of the Magen Avraham. The Mishnah Berurah nuchas flu with Esrog posel. The Mishnah Berurah posel the halacha, this Magen Avraham, that we basically don't accept this guest of Mishnah. We accept the Gemara at face value. It's strange. It's strange. What's it based on? Kachlem halacha Rosh Hashanah. So we, who the late Racharonim, were machri against the guest of Mishnah, we follow the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah, that technically speaking, if I have Esrog Chutz La'aretz, I have all those Chutz La'aretz, I can give it to somebody else. So then that's good enough for the mitzvah derais of Balavidim. So now let's go back to the bracha that we started with. Lehanos b'hem b'nei adam. Even aniach that that's literally hanoah, which again was far from agreed upon. Even aniach that's true. B'med v'amamurim. That's if it's orla in Eretz Yisrael. So that's taka, not lehanos b'hem b'nei adam. So I can't make the bracha. But if it's in Bergenfield, what do you mean lehanos b'hem b'nei adam? You're not a b'nei adam. You know, maybe I can't be man if it's lehanos b'hem b'nei adam. Everyone else could use it. The fact that I technically can't use it, madach legabi dalim minim, the Magen Avraham mishmu will make a legabi mitzvah deraisa and calling it lachem because it's mutabel hanol lachayrim. So you're going to tell me that it's not called the lachanas ben bnei adam. So it's very, very hard to believe. And therefore, lefiyani is daiti, even according to the machmirim in Eretz Yisrael, would probably end up being Mekel here as well. So what happens to me with this person who asked me the Shaila a while ago, what do you mean they had an Orlos Chutz Laretz in their backyard in Bergenfield? They weren't planting a tree from scratch. It was one of those potted, sapling trees that was being replanted. They thought it was Orla. Between you and me, I'm not even sure it was Orla altogether. Because going back to what we said before, the Pesach Shiva Kotz Decharonim, you don't even know how much dirt was in there. You know how much dirt the tree needs to survive on its own. The whole thing is one big fat Suffolk. And it's a Suffolk. So everyone agrees, Suffolk goes Chutz Laretz as Mutter. That's the bottom line. So even if you're Machmir, you can't feed one to another like the Kesef Mishnah, but even the Kesef Mishnah agrees that Suffolk is Mutter. So if it is Daiti, it was perfectly acceptable to recite Birchas Eilonos on that fruit tree for multiple reasons. Both in terms of brachas issues, we are not at all sure that this bracha speaks about the here and now. Maybe it's for the future. Maybe the bracha doesn't need the literal lehanos. Maybe it's like birchas shachar, the non-Rambam people, that it's a darker shalaylam. It doesn't speak about this tree per se. It speaks about trees in general. And even if it's learned that all that is wrong, in Eretz Yisrael, maybe that would be a concern. In Chutz Laretz, it's probably not a concern because the Ikra, then we probably pass you're allowed to feed one to another, even though we don't really understand it, but that's part of the Lach Moshe Sinai. And adding on to the point that particular case probably was a suffering anyway, the whole fake is that all Chutz Laretz is going to be mutter anyway. No one's mechuyav to go check with Home Depot how much dirt was really there. Nobody knows, nobody cares. And therefore, what you don't know doesn't hurt you. So Lamaisa, I think it's Yatzah Davar Beheter, that one would be permitted to recite a bracha on that particular tree. Okay.
And another reason is the Torah says, he will live.
Okay, we got to wait for the fourth year for that one. Okay, good. Take care. Good night, everyone.